This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of September 6th, 2026. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 464 and happy Labor Day. For the last 50 years, photographer Craig Hodge has captured the images of the PNE Fair. Next month, he hopes to become the new mayor of Coquitlam. Craig Hodge is my guest on this edition of the podcast. The 116th PNE Fair at Hastings Park ends Labor Day, and so does the 50-year run for Craig Hodge, the official PNE photographer. Hodge is a veteran of the Columbian, Tri-City News, and Vancouver Sun newspapers. Since 1976, he has captured the images of the province's beloved summertime tradition in East Vancouver. Rock stars, sports stars, daredevils, clowns, farm animals, circus animals, super dogs, fun-loving British Columbians of all ages. I caught up with Craig Hodge on September 4th at the PNE to talk about his career and what is next for the Coquitlam City Councillor. 50 years has gone by. How do you encapsulate 50 years?
Well, you know what? It's been a lot of fun. I couldn't pick a better photo project than spending 50 years at the PNE, documenting people having fun here. There's people here that I run into that are now bringing their grandchildren to the fair. I was here to see those buildings that were once here, like the BC building with the Challenger map, or the food building. They've come down to make way for a new park. Right near where we're standing was where the old Action Bowl used to be, where I used to photograph the demo derby and the timber show, and for many years, outdoor concerts. And now it's the home of a beautiful new amphitheater, the Freedom Mobile Arch. So entertainment is going to be, once again, a big part of this part of the fair.
Now, back in 1976, you're just getting into the business. You're a photographer with the Columbian newspaper, a newspaper that was really the third newspaper in the Lower Mainland after the Vancouver Sun and Province. It really told the stories of the Tri-Cities especially, and it eventually closed down, but you helped relaunch a newspaper in the area, in the Tri-Cities and Royal City.
Yeah, I mean, the Columbian newspaper was at the time the oldest newspaper in British Columbia. It was an independent, family-owned business. Unfortunately, it didn't survive through past 1984. And so when it folded, I helped start the Tri-City News, which filled the gap. Again, we were a number of papers that filled the New Westminster, Tri-Cities, and Surrey readership area. So I was fortunate to be able to work there at the paper. But when I was at the Columbian, when I was at the Vancouver Sun, and when I was at the Tri-City News, I always took the last 2 weeks of August off so that I could work at the PNE. And some of the best photographers and photojournalists in the Lower Mainland actually worked with me at the time. Many photographers from the Sun and Province actually worked as part of our photo team.
Along the way, technology has changed. You're using digital now, of course, but back then, when there were tighter deadlines for the newspapers, did you have a photo lab here at the PNE?
Yeah, originally we shot everything on black and white film, and we had a dark room here at the PNE in the Garden Auditorium. Later, we switched to doing color, and then eventually in around 2001, then we switched to digital. But for many years, we had a lab on site. In the early days, we would be printing black and white pictures through till 3 in the morning. We'd get them all organized by what cities the subjects were from, and then we would send them out by overnight courier to newspapers around British Columbia. So a lot's changed since the days of, working in a smelly dark room to the days now where I'm now working on a computer a desktop and able to send those pictures out instantly. So the idea is still the same. We want to get pictures out to around BC of people that are enjoying the fair, many cases competing at the fair, whether they're 4-H kids, we get those back home. And over the years, we've had a lot of different contests here. I was in the audience when Michael Bublé played during the Talent Festival and actually had shot him, and many kids that won 4-H prizes. I've got a great photo of a kid who had won for the best steer, and he's in a payphone holding the steer beside him as he's phoning home to his mom to tell her. Because back then, of course, we didn't have cell phones, and people were still phoning home from the pay phones to tell folks back home what they were doing at the fair.
And back in the 1970s, this site also had Empire Stadium.
Yep.
Where you had the BC Lions and the Vancouver Whitecaps playing, and also a famous concert venue, which
yep.
brought in some big acts over the years. Of course, before your time, the Beatles and Elvis, yep. but Empire Stadium was here. Were you able to get out and shoot much sports at Empire?
Yeah, I shot the Lions. They were here. I was shooting the Whitecaps when the year that they made the big run to the Cup, and of course the Canucks, and then later the Giants. So I've had the opportunity to photograph some great sporting events here.
One of those sporting events at the P&E resulted in an injury to Hodge in 1995.
That's me right there catching them.
In the front row at the Pacific Coliseum when Canucks captain Trevor Linden checked St. Louis Blue Jeff Norton into the glass, which disintegrated during the first round playoff series.
I had the best view of how it happened. And in fact, one of the problems was that I was looking through the hole in the glass, so I didn't actually see the players coming.
The glass came down and he was rolling around. The glass all dropped and broke, but you got a 200-something pound player rolling around on top of the glass. I think that's what cut me.
9/11, September 11th, 2001, yeah. which had reverberations around the world and had reverberations here in Vancouver. And one of the first significant sporting events that happened in North America, anywhere in North America, right after, actually the Pacific Coliseum, the Man Cup, lacrosse championship, Coquitlam Adirondacks.
Yeah, they're playing Brampton. Brampton had just broken a 2-2 series tie to take game five. And was up 3-2 in the series and could have won it in game six. So there was a lot of excitement. The hometown, the Coquitlam Adirondacks were playing, and it was game six was supposed to be on September 11th. And of course, people came to the game not knowing what was going on in the world, because as you said, people woke up that day not knowing, what our world had become. And I think that night when the game happened, I think it was a chance for people to just sort of see some normalcy in their lives. But there were a couple of players that still had to fly in for the game. They had trouble getting in for the game. But Coquitlam took that game to tie the series and then went on to win game seven. We're in the middle of a major tournament. It was big news here with the Adirondacks, who had never won the Man Cup. So it was big news, and I think people were looking for that ability to just get back to watching sports events again.
It was like a weight had lifted off a lot of people, that people could get back together. There was no sports on TV because Major League Baseball, for instance, took a longer pause.
Yeah.
So this was a way for Vancouverites to get away from the terrible events that happened on the other side of the continent, to get together for at least a few hours, take their minds off it.
Yeah, and you're right. And because any pro sports that were going at the time, there was no travel. It was very difficult to travel. So the fact that the teams were here in Vancouver, for the most part, there were some players that I think had tried to go through a bit of work to get back here. But essentially, it did allow the game to go on. And as you said, I think it was one of the first major sports events to actually get back in play following 9/11. We went through much the same in the pandemic. And as I mentioned earlier, to try to keep the fair going and some of the sporting events going, it was, I think, a real testament to just not only the people who came and took the precautions to be able to come to the site, but to the staff who really felt that it was important to still have these events and to try to have some sort of connection and normalcy during the COVID years. And one of the things that the P&E was adamant really wanted to do was to support our vendors, many who've been here for many years. Many vendors were suffering financially. And so the idea was for the P&E to put on a drive-through and people could drive by and pick up their mini donuts and other foods. But the P&E was really wanted to make sure that they supported their staff, supported the longtime vendors who had supported us, and give people that connection with the fair. And people still come from all around BC to come to the fair each year. And I'm amazed when I'm walking the grounds where I'll talk to people, where are you from? Mostly so I can take their pictures to send it back home. And it's really just amazing how many people come to the fair, or people that will tell me their story of how they came as a young child, or how they're now bringing their children to the fair.
What was your highlight, the one that you shot that created the best photo, the one that's framed on your wall?
Yeah, I mean, I took some really great, memorable photos. The roller coaster at sunset is one that comes to mind. Two girls dressed in pink dresses, enjoying a day at the fair with the merry-go-round behind them. My kids with looking through the mini donuts. My wife and I had just taken a break from the fair and had brought the kids for an afternoon, and suddenly they started playing with the donuts, as little kids will sometimes play with their food, and it turned into one of our iconic marketing photos.
And you mentioned your wife. Tell me the story of meeting her here at the fair.
So back in 1986, one of my jobs back in the 80s was to photograph the Miss P&E pageant, which was sort of like the Miss British Columbia pageant. So we'd have 40 contestants from cities around British Columbia compete. And Miss White Rock that year, Donna Ferlani, won the Miss P&E in 1986. And her chaperone was her older sister, Darla. And Darla was getting interested in photography, and so we were introduced. And the rest is history, as they say, three kids later. So I joke and say that Donna won the Miss P&E crown, but her sister won the real prize. Now, my wife doesn't quite tell it that way, but it was a great family connection to meet at the fair and have our kids grow up here every summer.
Yeah, they don't have the Miss P&E pageant anymore and don't have the P&E parade anymore. Some of the traditions, people's tastes change and budgets change, of course,
yeah.
And logistics change, but yes. Some of the things have been lost along the way, replaced by new traditions.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think we're making new traditions here. Yes, the P&E parade used to wind its way down Hastings Street from downtown Vancouver. That sort of symbol, that was significant. That kicked off the start of the P&E, and would be floats from all around British Columbia and Washington State. So the parade was a great event. Later, we started doing smaller parades here on the fairgrounds. The Miss P&E pageant ended in around 1990, but again, I was there photographing the winners for many years. So that was one of the things that changed. Of course, the demo derby that was here. I used to enjoy the BC building. We used to have crafts and things there. And of course, the food building, the Showmart building. But you know what? The slicer dicers are still here. The food vendors are now outdoors, more food trucks. But I remember when we started taking down the buildings with the idea that we were going to create a sanctuary here. And everybody said, well, that's going to be the end of the P&E. It rains all the time in Vancouver. You need those indoor buildings. Well, we don't. We've got great outdoor theaters, the amphitheater, for example, the arch that we've just built, the Freedom Mobility Arch, shows that you can have a great outdoor fair in Vancouver. And so, I have a lot of memories of the crafts in the buildings, and the agriculture program is still going strong with the 4-H auction, and I'll still always remember the day that I walked an elephant by the food building. We'd had a circus here one year, and the marketing manager thought it'd be great to get the elephant somewhere where you could see the fair in the background. So we took the elephant, the trainer followed along, and I said, do you think it's okay to walk an elephant through the fairground? And he said, nope, just walk in front of him with some candy floss. The elephant likes candy floss, he'll follow you wherever you go. So I started walking through the fairgrounds, past the food building, towards the highest point on the fairground, carrying a candy floss. And as we walked by the food building, the elephant, we discovered, also enjoyed Chinese food. And as we were walking by the food building and people were sitting out on the benches, the elephant stopped and with his trunk would go down and suck the food off of people's plates as we walked by. The marketing manager thought it was great. He said, oh, keep shooting, this is great. And he started running along behind us, handing out $5 bills to any of the patrons who's lost their lunch to the elephant.
One morning early in the barns when a pig got loose in the barns.
Mm-hmm.
People love to come for the rides. I'm not a ride person, and that's the running joke of all these years at the P&E. I've only rode the roller coaster once. And it's also the 50th year of Super Dogs. And so that was one of the early days when the Super Dogs actually performed at something we called the Lagoon Stage. So one of the early days of Super Dogs. And that's one of my favorite shots where we put all the super dogs up on the stands.
I mean, people talk about herding cats, but how about herding dogs into seats?
That took a lot of patience to get them there. But the super dogs have been great to photograph for many, many years. And again, during the pandemic, we took the show outdoors. And it was like a drive-in movie theater where the cars came in and parked in the parking lot and the super dogs performed on an outdoor stage for them. So keeping to the old adage that the show must go on.
Back in the 70s and 80s, we actually put on something called the Star Spectacular. And it was 17 nights of the biggest stars in the world, in North America. Anybody who was touring in North America, they were booked into the Coliseum for one of those 17 nights.
There I am covering a concert. We had a lot of great concerts. ABBA playing. This was Alice Cooper, and he played back in the late 70s. Alice actually fell off the stage during the show, landed on top of me down in the pit, and about 45 minutes later, they bandaged him up. You can see the bandage around his ribs and his head, and he came back out and finished the concert. There's the Bee Gees playing, Chuck Berry and Johnny Cash and Roy Orbison, one of my favorites, Elton John, back in his early days here. Of course, you know, back before Rogers Arena was built, the Coliseum was where all the big performers like Frank Sinatra came.
There was a time that, you know, when the buildings had to come down and we were looking at, are we just going to make this a park with a pop-up fair? And, you know, we survived that. They did a great job. Expo was another, the fair will die. We actually had one of our best years the year that Expo was here. Of course, then the pandemic year. And I think it speaks to the resiliency of the staff here, the board that keeps the fair going, but also most importantly to the patrons, to the people who love the fair and keep coming back year after year.
This could also have been a very different site. Back in the 1970s, late 1970s, the president was Erwin Swongard.
Yep.
And I remember coming here one night and they had a big splash, big news conference. He was proposing a multiplex, wanted to build a multiplex stadium here.
Yep.
This would have been 77 or 78.
Yep, before BC Place, and BC Place sort of moved downtown, but Erwin had this vision of doing a big multiplex here. And you know what, it's kind of neat because in many respects, I look over here at the Freedom Arch, the Freedom Mobility Arch, and think, you know what? What would Erwin have thought of that? I mean, that is a really great venue there. And people are out there sitting out in the lawn watching some great shows. And the first day I walked in there, I thought back to Erwin and his dream of building that kind of a facility. I think he was, you know, certainly ahead of his time with BC Place being built. It took a little bit of that need away, but I'm really pleased to see it here, and I'm looking forward to shooting the rest of the concerts here. And we got Boy George coming up. That's going to be a fun concert. And I hope that after I've retired here, which will be on Monday, I'll still get a chance to come back, and this time I'll sit in the audience and watch the show instead of being told first three songs, no flash. I've been a city councilor in Coquitlam. After I left the newspaper industry, people said, you know a lot about the city, you should run for office. And so I've served 15 years as a city councilor, and the current mayor is retiring. So I've put my name forward to be the next mayor of Coquitlam. And I'll know in about 43 days, I think is the countdown, whether or not I'm successful, and whether I'll be coming to visit the fair in the future as the mayor of Coquitlam.
Yeah, October 17th, that's election day across British Columbia and in Coquitlam.
Election day right across the province for school board, mayors, councillors, regional district. It's a big day. It's an important day because, municipal government is the closest level of government to the people. We deliver so many services to our residents. And so who you have at the table making those decisions for you is really important.
And so many challenges in different municipalities and in the region, in this economy and in this environment, facing challenges from the U.S. with tariffs. You've got budget challenges at home here with major infrastructure projects.
Yep.
You've got people wanting the best services possible and demanding that civic governments also shepherd their money very responsibly and be transparent about it.
Yeah, and it's been very difficult because we've also at the municipal level had to take on more and more responsibility. The things that the provincial government has either directly downloaded to us or indirectly downloaded, such as, you know, the mental health and opioid crisis, where policing costs have gone up. Some cities are actually hiring nurses to work with police officers, so that's a big one for the downloading. We don't get as many grants as we used to, and some issues around looking after dikes and other things that that used to be clearly the responsibility of the province have been handed to us, and so we have to find new ways to meet those challenges, and I'd like to think that the people that are running for office are really committed to representing their residents and really working through some of the challenges. And I have to say, it's, you know, there's challenges at all levels right now. The federal government dealing with the tariffs, the provincial government trying to do the best to support our residents through the tariff. And elected officials, I have a lot of respect for my colleagues from all parties at all levels of government, because it's a tough job and sometimes it's a thankless job.
Thankless job, but you're gonna be putting down your camera, you hope, after October 17th, and being the focus of the citizens.
Yes, yep. I'm really looking forward to being able to contribute back to my community in that way. As I said, for over 25 years, I worked at the community newspaper. I helped tell the stories, and I'm looking forward now to spending all of my time in my community as a full-time mayor.
It for the Breaker.News podcast from the PNE Fair at Hastings Park, the 116th edition through Labor Day, September 7th. Follow on social media. We're on X, Threads, and Blue Sky. Follow the YouTube channel for the Breaker videos. And sign up for the free email newsletter, bobmackin.substack.com. Become a paid subscriber, get early access to podcasts. Thanks again, and until next week.